78. I wanted to mention to you, in regard to Rachel House, we put an insert in the bulletin and would really encourage you to think about even giving financially. Any gift given will to Eagle Heights will be counted, obviously, as charitable giving, and 100% of it will go to them. You know, when you think about baby dedications, our attention focuses on the cute little babies. But I heard a story recently that reminded me, and I hope it reminds you, of what baby dedication really is all about. Here's the story. A mom is in a big store with a little toddler, and the toddler is fussing and stewing and crying and wanting her way. To which the mother says, seeing this daughter, "Suzanne, you stop it. I mean, stop it right now. You need to control yourself. Suzanne, get yourself together, calm down, settle down, Suzanne, and do it now." The store manager overheard this mother and came up to the little girl and said, "Suzanne, I want you to know your mother told you the truth. You're being very disruptive here in our store." To which the little girl said, "Sir, my name is Brenda. My mom is Suzanne." Good, you got it. I was hopeful it would come through. Baby dedication isn't about babies. Little Emerald and Sophie are not going to know anything about what went on today, right? But mom and dad do, and that's what's so vitally important. If you go to Psalm 78 with me, we're going to look at just verse 4 through 7. And you notice something interesting about Psalm 78. It has the little title, "A Maskil of Asaph." Have you ever wondered what that is? Honest to goodness, I've read that so many times that I've never really checked it out. The word maskil means simply a instructional psalm. Asaph was a singer. Asaph was a musician. So they would sing the psalms. And sometimes psalms were all about praising God. But this one is about instruction. And I think it's important for us to realize that the instruction given here is the instruction to an older generation passing on value and truth to the younger generation. So I want us to look, and if you would look with me in verses 4 through 7, the Bible says, "We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." I've entitled this message, "Raising Children That Put Their Hope in God." Raising children that put their hope in God. And I want us to focus this morning on some key words and key thoughts within this psalm. First of all, in verse 4, and this is my first point, showing the praises of God, his strength, and wonderful works is our responsibility. Did you hear that? Showing the praises of God, his strength, and wonderful works. That all comes from verse 4. Christian parenting must be God first, because it's God that ordains life. That little gal in the video, you know, she didn't say a whole lot about it, but the reason she didn't want to abort those babies because she knew that God was the one that gives life. Life doesn't just happen. Life doesn't just happen. There are couples everywhere that are trying to have a baby and can't. It is God that gives the life. It's not humanity of life that we ought to be thinking about. It's sanctity of life. That word sanctity means holiness, godliness of life. Why do we know that? Because in Genesis it says man is created in God's image. The only creature on the planet that is created in God's image. It is God that must be lifted up. It is God that must be worshiped, must be praised. As parents, and I speak to Jeff and Renee, and I speak to Joe and Emily, especially this morning, who are going to have their babies dedicated, the importance of making God your priority in your home. It's so important. He ought to be the object of everything that you talk about and do. It ought not to be, what do I want as a parent? It's, what does God want us to be doing? That is so vitally important. Make God the object of how you teach, how you love, and how you discipline your children. It is vitally important. There's coming a time, and this text addresses it, when little Emerald and Sophie this morning are going to be the parents in church with little ones of their own. And the importance of reminding them that we have an awesome responsibility to pass on that our hope is in God. My hope is in the Lord. It's not in anything else. They've got to be able to see. They've got to be able to know from your very lives that God is real. If God is real in your life, you're going to be talking about Him. You're going to be praying. You're going to be bringing your children to church. You're going to be having devotions at home. You're going to be doing everything to bring God and God's Word into your children's lives. Would you agree? Can't talk too much. Listen, we don't need any more talk radio. We don't need any more TV. We don't need any more internet. We need something that directs our attention to think about God. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. That's really the responsibility. So the first thing that I would say to us, if we want to raise children that put their hope in God, we need to make sure that our hope is in God and that we are manifesting godliness in everything that we do. I want to just say to our teachers that are here, we have a responsibility to carry on for these parents at school, at Sunday school, at master clubs, that we too are walking with God, loving God, living for God, and loving everything there is about Him. Secondly, I want you to see that God's Word must be your sole authority in raising your children. Did you notice in verse 5, he says, and appointed a law in Israel. That word law there literally means teaching. And the idea is that the Bible must be your sun in the solar system, your spiritual solar system. Or another way of looking at it, the Bible has to be your north star of navigating through life. It's not another book, it's the only book. And make sure that any other book in your home, if it's doing anything to take away from God's book, get rid of the other books. Get rid of them. You don't need them. And I might just add, there's a great way to, today we have so many wonderful, I forget what ladies call it, but these shops that sell accessories, is that the right word? Home accessories. And having scripture on the wall and scripture on the special little table and all of those sort of things is vitally, vitally important. Stay committed to keeping God's word the thing that you pass on to the next generation. You know, it thrills me. It used to be Jack Banner. Now I think it's Stan Hammer. There may be others as well. But have a little motivational program where if the little juniors come and quote Bible verses, they give them little prizes. Give them little prizes. I hope as adults we don't need little prizes. But can I say something to you? You can't do any better than helping children know God's word. How vitally significant it is. I seldom, when I'm out and about, am able to pull out a Bible. I carry a little Bible with me, but I seldom pull it out. But you know what's so meaningful? If on the spot and everything seems to work in such short time today, I hope you've got God's Word right here. And you're sharing it with people. Paul says, the good thing, in 1 Timothy, he says this, the good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Keep. Make God's word a priority. Ephesians says it this way, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. How vitally important that is. So if we want to raise children that have and put their hope in God, it begins by having parents. By the way, can I add something here? A baby dedication is really not just for the parents. It's for a church family. These little children growing up see us. I don't have any children or grandchildren in this church. But you know what? They're watching. They're noting. And they want to know, is God real? Do we really live the way we talk? So that tells us that we need to make sure we are grounded in God's word. We've been talking the last couple of weeks. We'll get back to 1 Corinthians next week. But we've been talking about Mary, the book, fall in love with the Word of God. The third thing I want you to note is this. Listen carefully. Teaching doesn't guarantee learning. Don't we talk about that, teachers in school, all the time? You can be a wonderful lecturer. That doesn't guarantee that who's listening is learning. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but I can tell you I've sat in a few lectures in my day and got done and came out with nothing. The problem wasn't the lecturer. The problem was me. And so I want to just say a couple of quick things here if I can. Why is that true? Well, you and I know we can't make people learn. In fact, Psalm 78 isn't a mental psalm. It's not, I'm going to instruct you, and you just need to get this mentally or memorize this. It's not that at all. It's really, and I wrote this down, learning comes by wanting and embracing what was taught. This is where, and listen carefully, parents, listen carefully, church family, this is where you and I asking questions and our attitude come into play. You know what I'm talking about? If a school teacher doesn't ask questions, I would say to you, I question how good a teacher they are. Parents, ask questions. Lectures are good. Teaching is vital. But questions tell you what? what they know. When we do lesson plans every week at school, we want to have for every subject the objective. And the objective is not what the teacher does. The objective is what will the learner be expected to do at the end of that lesson. We want them to learn. Would you agree? We want them to get it. We want them to have it and embrace it and go on and live for the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's not going to happen just by thinking we can tell them and read this and have your devotions and do that. We need to be asking questions. Asking questions. And secondly, we need to be monitoring our attitude. What do I mean by that? Have you ever had somebody whose attitude stunk, but yet they told you to do something that was a good or right thing to do? And you know what usually stands out to us? That stinky attitude, doesn't it? Okay, kids, I know it's cold in the morning, but we got to go to church, so make sure you get up. Wow, what an encouragement to go to church. What's that say about you wanting to go? You follow what I'm saying? If we want learning to occur, it has to happen. And obviously, learning is the objective here. Because it says that in verse 6, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should rise and declare them to their children. This thing only gets passed on when you've learned it and you want to pass it on to somebody else. That is vitally, vitally important. So attitudes, attitudes that manifest joy, joy in serving Jesus, joy in knowing Jesus Christ, joy in fellowshipping with other believers, all of those things are reflected in our attitude. We can say all kinds of right things, and if our attitude is wrong, I'm telling you, the learners are going to pick up on the attitude, not the words that were spoken. Do you agree? Am I right? Absolutely the truth. I wrote this down. It's this learning that the psalmist recites as the catalyst for the next stages. Because after establishing your lives, parents, and church on God, and using your sole authority as God's word, and not settling for a lecture mentality but a learner mentality, I come down to number 4, that these children will set their hope in God. That means they would put their confidence in God. You say, why is that important? Have you noticed that constantly throughout Scripture, the biggest enemy that comes up, and we talk about it here every week, is pride. Is pride. If our hope is in God, you know what that says? That says to our children, don't ever pat yourself on the back. Don't ever praise your own self. Because it really is all about God's doing, isn't it? It is God which worketh in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So when you and I want to establish that we personally have our hope in God, that will constantly check any pride that comes up in our speech, in our actions, in anything that we do. So important that we stay grounded in realizing it is all about God and how faithful and good He is in working in our lives. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you grateful for God's goodness and kindness? Brother Schuler was sharing with me between Sunday school and church. We have a young man on our prayer list for health. Happens to be his son. His name is Joe. And Joe, maybe a month, 2 months ago, I forget the timing, but there was a question whether he would live. Real liver disease. And you know what? And also a big indifference to spiritual things. And he was sharing with me that he just saw Joe, was it this past week? And you'd never know he was sick. Never know he was sick. And there was a greater openness, still praying for embracing what we're talking about here today, that his hope, Joe's hope, would be in God. But seeing God work like that, how important it is. But you notice one other thing in the text here? Verse 7, I already said the first part, that they might set their hope in God. And notice it says, and not forget the works of God, but what's the next word? Keep his commandments. You know somebody has put their hope in God when they don't resent or resist obeying this book. They don't just know it mentally, but they want to obey it. Don't you agree that that is a real test of what kind of people we really are? When the Bible says, forsake not the assembly of yourselves together, and you guys are in church, you know what you testified to who knows how many people today? That God is first. And you're not going to disobey God's word and make church attendance a light matter in your life. You see what we're talking about? He wants this instructional psalm, a Maskil of Asaph, is a psalm designed that the next generation would put their hope in God. A life of Christ-like obedience. Not legalistic obedience, but want-to obedience. Not external conformity, but inward conformity. That's why James reminds us, faith without works is dead. There's nothing there. Faith talk, Bible talk without follow-through is really deadness. So this morning, as we go into this baby dedication, I'm going to ask Jeff and Renee and Joe and Emily to get their little ones and come to the front, sit on the front here. I want us to think about what we've talked about this morning. I wrote down five things. They'll all be prefaced with this phrase. Can the stars, the Pearsons in our church? Okay, I won't say that maybe every time, but that's what I'm thinking. Are the stars and the Pearsons in our church, here's my five things, committed this morning to sing and speak the promises, the strength, the wonderful words of God? Number two, are we committed to making God's word our sole authority for all areas of life? And authority primarily this morning for what? Raising children. Are you aware that this past week, Mrs. Pence, the vice president's wife, started teaching part-time art in a Christian school in the Washington, D.C. area? Are you aware of the uproar that's going on because the vice president's wife put herself by teaching in a Christian school? By uproar, I'm talking about, I forget what the name of the website is, but it's Expose Christian Education. They're looking for every negative thing they could find to show that Mrs. Pence is a terrible person. You know what I say? Mrs. Pence is a godly person. It's the kind of person we want. Hogwash with all that stuff. And by the way, if we don't start standing up for our values, the world isn't getting quieter, are they? Are they backing into a corner and saying, oh, well, you Christians, you just do what you want to do? Hey, listen, they've got a new president of Planned Parenthood. And that person came out this week and made this statement. We want you to know that our core mission is abortion. That's what she said. Check it out. Check it out. We're not playing games here. This is life and death stuff. And more importantly, it's eternal life or eternal death stuff. And how we need to be focused on lifting up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is God that needs to be at the center of everything we do, everything that we are. I wonder if we'll commit today to learning, focus on learning, not just lecturing. If you're a teacher in here today or you're a parent at home, would you commit yourself to asking questions that really turn your children into people that really can convey and know what the truth is? If you can't say it, you usually don't know it. Right? It's basic education. Number four, are you committed to the goal of children that rise up with their hope in God? All pride and self-abased? We don't need a selfie generation. We need a selfless generation. We need a God-oriented generation. Can you commit today to the goal of Christ-like obedience, both for us and our offspring? Well, I'm here this morning to, as we finish things up, to dedicate these two babies and these families. So I'm going to ask Jeff and Renee and Joe and Emily, they're getting all the little things perfectly done. Would you come right up here in front, please?